This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Carpe Diem with your host, Lisa McDonald.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair with my lipstick on, in a glass of purple dry.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me, rejoining me here on this lovely Friday morning. My name is Lisa McDonald. This is my host show, Carpe Diem, and I am so honored, so touched to once again be joined by another stellar guest. This Friday morning, a gentleman by the name of Stu Jeffries. And because this show, this network spans to 145 countries, 220 TV radio terrestrial satellites, and has the potential for millions of iTunes downloads, what I'm going to do, as I always do before I turn it over to unscripted dialogue with my guest, is I'm just going to give you listeners a little bit of a backstory here on my guest, Stu Jeffries. So who is Stu Jeffries? Well, what I can tell you about Stu is that Stu has been a broadcaster for more than 35 years and currently hosts the morning show on Boom 97.3 FM in Toronto. Jeffries was born and raised in Vancouver. He began his radio career in small town Saskatchewan and worked in Edmonton, Regina, and Vancouver. He made the move to Toronto in 1997. A veteran on TV2, he may be best known for his 10-year role as host of CBC Television's rock video journal, Good Rock and Tonight. Stu interviewed some of the hottest stars of the 80s and 90s, including such music icons as Paul McCartney, Guns N' Roses, Madonna, and Janet Jackson. He also came face-to-face with Hollywood greats like Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Matt Damon, and Meryl Streep. Known for his versatility, Jeffries has hosted numerous national shows on major Canadian broadcasts and specialty networks, including CMT Central, Live and Up Front with Shania Twain, Sevens Live with Garth Brooks, and even a game show, Love Handles, on Global GSN Prime. Along with reading, sports, and being a Mac geek, that's university, Stu loves to spend the time with his family and is an avid Leafs fan. He also still cheers for the Blue Jays and his boyhood home team, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So, Stu, welcome.
Thank you. There's nothing like a biography to make it sound like you're talking to the god of broadcasting. I love those things.
Well, it's funny you say that because quite often when I do plug the bio before we turn it over to unscripted dialogue, my guest goes, oh, my God, is that really me? Did I really accomplish all that stuff? You can't be honestly talking about me.
You know what? I feel like I want to get that printed on the front of my T-shirt and just walk around with it all the time.
Well, there you go. I'll get my people to make up one for you, okay?
Excellent. Thank you. I'd appreciate that.
But why I'm really happy to have you here, Stu. So along with some of the parallels with our professional vocation and what we choose to do to endeavor every day to hone our passions and to live the life that's pure and honest to us, you know, for me, I'm at a different level than you. You're a veteran. People know your name. People are starting to get to know my name, too. And it's not necessarily about that. But because this show, the network and my host show, what it's all premised on is personal development and, you know, evolving and making the decision every day to be committed to being the best version of yourself, which means honing what it is that you absolutely love to do. I love engagement. I love connecting with people, as clearly mm-hmm. you do, too. And
yeah,
so
I
thought you. Yes, absolutely. So I thought I got to get Stu Jeffries on this show because in order to hone your craft, you've got to surround yourself by the people who are the best in the industry. And so I really want to say thank you for the gift of your time.
It's my pleasure.
Yes. So why don't we talk a little bit about the inception of your journey, Stu? Where did this all begin for you? And is this the path that was chosen for you? Is this something that you fell into? Is this something you sought out for?
You know, it's funny. First of all, thank you for saying all that. I knew I was sort of a lucky kid. I knew when I was 6 or 7 years old that it was radio that I wanted to do. I remember we would gather. I was raised by just a mom. I didn't have a dad when my parents were divorced when I was about four. And my mother, I remember, was a working mom. And at that time, sort of mid-60s, late 60s, early 70s, it was really tough for a single woman to raise a family and work. So I remember breakfast around the table being really hurried, and it was sort of to get us off to school. We would wake up in the morning, come to the breakfast table, there would be cereal bowls all around, milk already poured, sit down, eat quick, get out the door. But the common denominator for us all, I think, for us kids, even though we had very little time together at table before off to school, was this radio that was sort of perched on top of a bread box in a kitchen. I can see it now. And my mother listened to, I guess, would be the equivalent of kind of a news talk radio station with a music-based morning show. And I remember looking at that little radio on the bread box and imagining that guy talking to me and being amazed, even at a young age, being amazed that guy doesn't even know me and he's in our kitchen. And I thought that's really, really weird and really cool that he is sort of connecting with me and this family. And he knows nothing about us. And I thought, I don't think I could have articulated that at the time, but looking back at it now, I think, yeah, that's what the magic was for me. It was, I want to do that. I want to be part of that scene. But I thought, this is the funny part. I thought, no, I can't. It's only for special people. It's only for, you can't get a job doing that. It must be just sort of handed down from, person to person who had done it for a living. And nobody could ever get a job doing that. And then when I found out that was actually possible, I became hooked. And I spent a lot of time in my early part of my years going to school, in elementary school. I got sick a lot as a kid. I used to get bronchitis quite badly, and I'd be laid up for about a week or two in bed at home. And my only – I remember just the radio was on constantly. It was my brother's. He hated me for using it. But I had it on, and I would listen to the jocks. I would make my own playlists. I would – I'd pretend I was them. I would try and phone in and never get through. But just that listening and becoming part of that sort of scene made me want to do, made me want to do it, made me think that would probably be the best job in the world if anybody could ever get it. And, and again, so that's from 6 or 7 years old. And to this day, it's still, to me, it's, I don't know, it's can't, there's a movie that I saw 16 times, I'm sure, maybe even more, called FM. It was a terrible movie, but it was about a Los Angeles radio station. I saw it when I was about 16. It was about a Los Angeles radio station, Q Sky, that didn't play any commercials. And they were number one in Los Angeles. And I'm going off on a tangent here, I'm sorry, but the plot of the movie was some guy would come in and he wanted to put commercials on the air, and they said, no, 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 we're not going to put commercials on the air, no way. And it was a battle between the suits and the jocks, and I thought, that's radio, that's what I want to do, I want to be part of that excitement. And to this day, on that tangent, there's a line in the movie where one of the jocks says, I'm sick of working in this toy store. And I thought, that's exactly what I do, I'm in a toy store, it's an adult toy store. And I'm not that kind of adult toy store, but an adult toy store. And it's like, it's the best thing ever. And still to this day, I get jazz going to work. I get jazz when I'm on the air. I get jazz waiting for the next day. And, I don't know. There's nothing better.
Well, I love that story. I love everything about that story. And a couple things I'm going to go back to within that story is, when you talk about getting very clear on this at 6 to 7 years old, I talk about this within my books and we talk about this with guests on radio, going back to your childlike spirit, because you get to this stage in life and it's quite common, as you would know, very easy to get jaded, very easy to live a prescribed life based on what other people say you should do. What's your job? You need to work 9 to 5. You need to have benefits. You need to have pension. You need to have all these things. And yet these people are the most miserable people in often many cases. They can't wait till Friday rolls around because they've got the weekend. They can't enjoy their Sunday because before you know it, they're back to work on Monday and they do the grind all over again and everything's about hump day on Wednesday. It's quite depressing, actually. So, when you go back within your introduction here at the top of the hour and you talk about 6 to 7 years old, I really sponged this up. It resonated with with me, and I endeavored to follow suit. You know, this is what we talk about, and I think it's so important. Go back to your childlike spirit. What was it that just brought you to life? And the fact that you got clear on that exceptionally early and followed suit, what a lovely, powerful message to be imparting with the listeners. So I thank you for that.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. And, you know, it's funny you say the people that do the daily grind and really hate their job and think that, you know, God, their worst time is Sunday at 11 p.m. and their best time is Friday at 5. And you think, oh, God, what a grind. And it's hard, you know, because sometimes you just, it's handed to you and you figure that that's your lot and you go forward and do it, I guess. I mean, I think my mother fought me tooth and nail on going to broadcasting school, or at least thought, you know, you go to broadcasting school, what are you doing? And that's expensive. And, you know, I think that the vibe was sort of, okay, let him give it a try. He's young. And then he'll realize that, you know, that's no way to make a living. And then he'll come to his senses. And truth be told, I started my career in 1979 at a small station in Saskatchewan called CJGX. And I think I was only in it for about 3 months. I could not wait to get back to Winnipeg. And after 3 months, I thought, oh my God, I'm a grizzled veteran. I know everything there is to know about this industry. I am so good. Why aren't people hiring me? And, you know, I would send these tapes out to different stations, these air checks out, and have them listen to me, and nobody responded. And no wonder they didn't respond. They were terrible. I mean, I was god awful, but I had, and this is the thing that sort of got me through the early stages of this. I have, you know, recorded so many shows and I've digitized them now. And the digitizing process was painful because I would listen to this guy, me, but I didn't even recognize me. I mean, the stuff I was doing on the air was ridiculous and terrible. And, you know, but you could hear that what I was trying to do was find my way. Like you could hear a person finding a style. I'm trying to find where I fit in, even though then I couldn't have articulated that. It was just, I was trying to be somebody, and I was trying to be somebody outside of me, which was weird. And it didn't click in until, you know, years and years later that the best person you could be was yourself.
Absolutely.
And since doing that, it's opened up, radio has opened up this whole new world has opened up before me, and it's a beautiful thing. But I tell you, after 3 months and nobody was hiring me and I couldn't get out of this small town, Saskatchewan, and I thought, this is awful, and I was just about to quit. If I'm not mistaken, I'm vague on this, but I think I did quit, and I was going to go, my mother had moved back from Winnipeg to Vancouver, and I was going to go to Vancouver and try something else. And then, like, you know, I believe to an extent, I believe in fate. And it just so happened that another guy got fired, and the program director said, I am stuck. Can you just hang in for a couple of weeks? And it was after 2 weeks, I said, you know what, I'm going to stay if that's okay with you. He said, yeah, fine. And then, you know, everything sort of blossomed from there. It was like one of those things where it's like, no, 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 don't quit. Stay here. This is going to get better.
Beautiful. And so going back to what you just said then, who is Stu Jeffries?
You know, such a good question and such a hard one to answer. I'm a veteran broadcaster by trade. I'm a family man that I'm most proud of. And I am a proud, proud communicator. And I think that I am a very sometimes too sensitive guy who, my heart's always on my sleeve. And a guy who has discovered that he's got a talent that it's more than just introducing the latest or introducing a classic song from Billy Joel, and is more of a, I guess, more of a personal communicator, and I think a better person for it. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've discovered that I have a microphone and I talk to untold number of people, and it's by no way to be taken as bragging. It's just, there's a lot, you communicate with a lot of people on a daily basis, and I have the opportunity to reach them and affect change and start conversation. And I can do it within the confines of a rock and roll, classic rock and roll format. And it is only up until, you know, recently that I realized it's everything that I've ever wanted to do. And in my show, at times things get a little, you know, personal, and sometimes things get a little, you know, I'll talk about things that have gone on in the world. If I was on today, I would have to address, you know, the assassination of the policeman in Dallas and,
yes,
and the protests and things like that. And it will always come from my heart, and there'll sometimes be tears, and there'll be, you know, it, but it's just who I am. And I am fortunate that it resonates with people. And I am that guy, from the radio on top of the bread box in the kitchen in Winnipeg that is communicating with people I can't see, and I'm resonating with them, and it warms my heart. How's that?
You know what? I just got goosebumps. I will never look at a bread box the same way again. Truthfully. I love the answer. And what you've described there, if I could be so bold as to interject here, but, you know, the people who classify, characterize themselves as perhaps too sensitive or sensitive by nature, I think that's such a beautiful quality, because to me that resonates at the level of being what I would deem to be an empath. And, you know, empaths truly feel everything at the core level. And I think that's what gets us in touch or realigned with our sense of humanity. You know, that's where the shifting occurs. That's where the prioritizing occurs. That's where the paying it forward and being of service to others occurs. And when you truly hear and tap into other people's pain or other people's joy or other people's successes, I mean, it's all about mirroring. It's the mirror effect. And so, you know, and I quote this quite often on radio, Byron Katie, the work of Byron Katie, I want for you what you want for you. And, you know, so if there's really no ego attached to this, and it's really about things operating at the heart level and truly seeing that we're all connected, the way that you've described yourself, which I think is beautiful, I would put you in the category of empath. And I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
So no wonder you resonate with people.
Yeah, it can make for some, you know, difficult broadcasting, and can make for some, you know, I want to say cringeworthy broadcasting. And I mean that in the way, you know, not where, oh, that's awkward, but more, oh my goodness, like that's striking a chord, it's striking a nerve. And, you know, and I always sort of feel that if it's, this just sounds so egomaniacal, and it's not, but I always think that if it strikes a nerve with me, it's got to strike a nerve with somebody else. And, you know, and I want that to go, I want that to get out there. And I want, and I guess, again, the thing that I think I'm most proud of is that, you know, you, me, people that are communicators can affect change. It's more, and but can still work within the confines of what a radio morning show is supposed to be. Except, you know what? I don't have to make prank phone calls. I don't have to, you know, play fart sound effects and jingle bells and things and snare drums. And yeah, man, I've got a million dad jokes and I love to pass them along. I've got stories to tell. I've got stories that I want to pass along, but there's also, that's part of the whole thing. That's me. Right. And that other segment is just part of the piece of the whole Stu Jeffries program pie. And that is, as you say, the empath part. And, you know, it really makes for, when somebody asks you to sort of describe your show, you know, you kind of go, it's got a little bit of everything. And I can't, you know, yesterday I was on the air and I was crying a lot. And they're like, what? Or what do I want? So, you know, it doesn't sort of fit in with what I guess the standard, what people perceive morning shows to be. And which kind of reminds me, and this a little while ago, I guess, God, it must be a couple of years ago now, we were coming up with, in a meeting, in a programming meeting, and one of the tasks that was put to someone in promotions was to say, can you do me a favor and come up with about a 7-line sort of blurb about what the Stu Jeffries show is about. Now, this person, in her defense, had not ever heard it before, but what she heard was Stu Jeffries and Morning Show. So the very next day, the blurb was sent to me via email, and it was, Stu Jeffries wakes you up with the most fun in the morning, with lots of great music, entertainment, and a whole lot of celebrity gossip. And I thought, you know, no, I don't. That's not anything that I do, but that is the perception of the morning show in the here and now, right? And I thought, yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's doing. That's certainly what you can count on when you go to any morning show. Anybody in the world will say, we have the most fun and we do this and we do that. And here's some more celebrity gossip and oh, those wacky Kardashians. And I thought, that's not me in any way, shape or form. And I don't ever want to be that. And I kind of pride myself on not being any of that and not being that sort of standard morning show. And I you know, and also, again, the fact that it resonates. It's one thing for me to say I'm really proud of the show I do, but if nobody's listening, you know, what's the point? I just happen to be lucky that people are listening and, you know, and it's working.
Well, wasn't it a gift that she did that, though? You know, when people don't get you or people don't understand your message or, you know, they're very quick to gloss over things just to fulfill their end of whatever it is they have to do to put stuff out there, meet deadlines, whatnot. I always look at those people as well, critics, naysayers, whatever. I consider those people a real gift because it really forces you to self-assess, to evaluate, and to go, no, I am going to correct that. And if I have somehow perhaps fallen short – apart from the fact that people don't do their homework and don't do their research, but you know, if I have fallen short on any level, or if there's an opportunity here for me to hone something, or to more eloquently portray myself and my show and my message in such a way that I really capture it for people, those are the people. Those I think are our best teachers, not the people who pat you on the back, not the people who go, oh, great show. Yes, we appreciate that. But it's the people who, you know, it's the people who will challenge us to challenge ourselves. And so I think that's what makes us top of our game. I truly do.
It is. You're right. And you know, and it wasn't anything that this person just didn't know. And it was, but it was cool. You're right. Because you look at that and you go, okay, that's exactly what I do not want to be. And this was, I'm so glad I saw this. It's also the same, sort of thing when somebody, I may have done a piece that may have, triggered something in me emotionally that may have caused my voice to crack, that may have caused a tear or two while I was presenting this particular subject or story. And I will inevitably get messages and emails from people saying, look, you got to man up. You know, nobody wants to hear about this and that, and just do your job, shut up and play the music. But you read that and you go, no, that's cool, because that is what that particular person wants. And there is, God, there's hundreds of thousands of them that would just sooner turn on the radio and hear what the song they want to hear. Give me a weather forecast, a traffic report, and I'm good. And that's cool. That's great. It's just that you can get that anywhere. Yes. And I want to be the sort of stop where you're going to get that, but you're going to get hopefully a little bit more. And maybe you're going to get something that might make you go, and maybe that's not a bad idea. Or, I need to talk to my wife about that. Or, I haven't talked to my brother or sister in ages. I need to give them a call. Or I need to be more informed on that or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of the things in the disaster, Pakistan disaster, it's 2 years ago now. I was talking about that, and, you know, at the end of what I was saying, I realized that although I'm, talking about the disaster that happened, talking about how kids had left their homes to go to school, kissed their parents goodbye, said, yeah, we'll see you after school, you know, I got my chores to do, I got whatever, they didn't come back. Mm-hmm. And as I was telling the story, and I was getting choked up, and then I realized, okay, that's one thing. That's one thing that you're presenting, and yes, that's true, but what can we, like, what the hell can we do as a person about something like this? And it came to me in writing the piece in that it seems so, you know, ridiculously simple. Mm-hmm. But by doing something nice to somebody somewhere along the line today that you wouldn't normally do starts a cycle of something. And
yes.
Even though it sounds, you know, it sounds very airy-fairy and it sounds very, give me another inspirational meme and send me on my way. It isn't that. It's like, no, man, you can do something here now about that disaster thousands and thousands of miles away by doing something nice, just nice. And even if it's letting somebody merge in front of you in traffic or holding a door open for somebody or just tipping your hat to somebody or helping somebody across the street or whatever, mm-hmm. if you just do that. And then I thought, what a powerful simple message that all of a sudden now thousands of people have heard. And it made me, when I was off the air, I was a mess. I was like, I think that I've just done something. And it felt so good. I talk about it now and it chokes me up. And I thought it felt so good that it made me realize why I got into this all those years ago. And this is the reason why I'm here now. And, you know, it's like, I want to keep it going. To actually have made that happen, and then the response was ridiculous. It was so nice and so heartwarming. Even with the combination of people saying, you need to shut up and play the music, there were others that were just completely taken back and said, I've never heard anything like that before. And, you know, it's just, yeah. What I really hate about this, Lisa, as I talk to you about this, I don't want this to come across like, hey, I am the new era of radio, because it's not that. And I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to come across like I have revolutionized broadcasting, because I have not. It's just me.
No.
But, you know, it's just what I believe to be important, and, you know, I just love doing it.
Well, you know, I mean, I love the vibe and the synergy here, and you're resonating with me on so many levels because of what I choose to talk about on radio. Like, do I give weather reports? No. Do I, you know, none of that. That's not what I'm here to do. But the fact that you choose to make it a smorgasbord for people, regardless of whether people, you know, are quick to shut you up and say, okay, well, that's great, but I didn't tune into that. I would have put on, like, Oprah Winfrey if I wanted to get, like, a kumbaya, whatever. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
But what I love about that, I love a lot of things about that. So what I love about that, Stu, is one, you're honoring yourself. Two, you know, you're using a platform as a vehicle to impart more important messages. And, you know, oftentimes, like I mentioned, what I talk about on radio with guests is we're all operating at different levels of self-awareness. And so for people who aren't prepared to do the work, for people who don't see the necessity for growth in order to become more revolutionized and evolutionized as a better person and operating at your highest vibrational level, you know, these people are stunted, and that's fine. You know, like, I'm not here to critique them either. But at the same time, there's always going to be more good that comes out from sharing the good, sharing the brightness. And we need more of that in the world. I mean, you can't turn on TV right now without hearing about a shooting. I mean, you know, the violence, the escalation of violence, and what's happening with our political culture and, you know, who's running and all that crap. I mean, it's depressing. Mm-hmm. It's depressing.
It is. And you fight, you know, daily to, you know, try and come up with something positive. And you know, and sometimes it feels like you're just losing the fight. You think that but it really is, you're right. You turn on TV and you see that, you know, the fight remains, the fight will always be there. And you know what? It's been this way since I can remember, and it will, you know, always be this way. All we can do in our own sort of environment, in our, however little or big that might be, is try and be, you know, just better people. And you got to hope. I mean, I love to believe, you know, after the Orlando nightclub shooting, I'd love to believe all of those wonderful hate will never win, you know, postings that I saw, and that, you know, it's all about love and let's honor them by loving each other and all of that stuff. And yes, I would love to believe that somehow some great big circle of love is going to change all this. I'm not that naive. It's too ugly. It's just way too ugly. All you can do is the best you can do within your environment, and hopefully it catches on. And it's wonderful to have an avenue, as you know, Lisa, to have an avenue to do that, to be able to spread that out and know that, you know, even if it's one person, even if it just happened to be one person, or even if Joe Blow went home to Joanne Blow and said, you know what, I heard something today, and we need to talk about this. And then there it goes. And somehow you have set, you know, set upon the earth a positive message in a midst of chaos. And, you know, hopefully that blossoms. But I'd love to believe that the blossom would be bigger than what's blossoming right now. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. And, you know, I guess all you can do about that, for me, it's all about, for me, it's let it, yeah, it's awful. It's terrible. Please don't let it consume you. Keep going. We got to keep going. Otherwise, all of this is for naught. All of the love that we brought forth all these years is for naught if we give in to this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you make a concerted decision and choice every single day not to be one-dimensional. So good on you.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, you know, let's face it. There's no fun in that. I mean, there's no... Like, what for? Then who am I? You know, I'm just another wacky, you know, radio guy. And let me tell you something, radio, there are some great announcers out there, and there are some great morning shows out there, and there are, and they do their job, you know, very, very well. Radio's got such a bad name over the years, and I don't think it's necessarily fair. Unfortunately, the cycle continues of, you know, bad broadcasters, which is sort of bringing the rest of us down. But you know, radio got a bad name a long time ago because of this sort of, you know, wacky kind of and everybody all talks like this, and it's not, you know, and nobody does. Like, nobody talks like this. It's like, it, but people, you know, perceive that, and it's been a tough sort of, you know, road to travel down when people say, what do you do for a living? You know, I work in radio. It's like the Seinfeld bit where, you know, George says, I write sitcoms. People make complete, you know, fun of them. You know, radio's the same thing. I do a morning show and they say, oh, well, and then they automatically have this perception that I made a prank phone call yesterday, and I think it was it's the Simpsons that doing Simpsons do an incredible job of mocking that. And you know, I love what they do, their impersonation of the morning show 3000 machine and stuff like that. I think it's just it's tremendous. But we, you know, I'm gonna, as long as it resonates, I get to continue to do what I do, and that's awesome. As I said earlier, you know, if people stop listening, I'm no longer. I've got to, you know, either change with the times or do whatever. But I will always be who I am.
Beautiful. Well, let me ask you this, Stu. What types of subject matter specifically? I mean, you've illustrated some examples of when you've welled up and, you know, when you've lost it behind the scenes and you've had to go back and either call your brother, call your sister, talk to your wife. But what types of subject matters most resonate with you? What could you talk about for hours that either gets you jazzed up or it makes you filled with passion, or just is so true to the core fabric of your foundation?
I think my, this will be difficult, but I think my parenting and my childhood, I think I had, I didn't have a good childhood at all. Mine was awful. And,
me too.
It was, yeah, it was sort of, mine was in search of the father figure. You know, and as I've spoken about it before, that it doesn't always end well when you're doing that. And, you know, and I'm certainly one of those cases where, you know, you run into the wrong type of guys. There are guys that would be great father figures and mentors, and then there are guys that know you're looking for a father figure and they have something else in mind. And it, you know, so it wasn't for a long period in my life, but it was long enough at a very influential age between, you know, 12 and 15 years old. And I was bullied, in my own house by, you know, a man. So it was hard. And I had made a decision pretty early on that I was not going to, I could see myself married, but I wouldn't have kids, because I thought in my own thinking that that would be, breaking the cycle of violence and, you know, child abuse, and that there would be no risk for me somehow picking up on that and passing that down to my kids. Not that I think that I could, but who knows? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be that, certainly didn't want to be that man. So I thought, you know, well, I could get married, but no kids. And then I had settled on that pretty much. And I thought that that's how my life was going to go. And then all of a sudden, an abrupt move from Vancouver to Toronto happened in 97. And I met my wife to be then. And, you know, we've been married now for 17 years or whatever it is. And I have three lovely boys who I cannot talk about without welling up somewhat, because they're, you know, my wife and those boys are my everything. And I struggle daily to be a good father, and I fail miserably on most counts, but I love them dearly and they love me, and I could talk about them forever. And I guess I could talk for hours and cry for hours about raising kids and raising my boys and how important it is to be, you know, as honest and as straightforward and as loving as you can possibly be, and that how kids don't need friends, they need parents, and that their role models are you, right? They're not, they're not Stephen Curry and, you know, and they're not sports stars. They're not shortstops. They're your mom and dad. And I love, it's a commercial a long time ago with Charles Barkley. When he said that, he goes, don't look at me to be your role model. I'm not your role model. Your mom and dad are your role model. And the way he said it was just, yes. He was like, it was presented to me, how could you be so stupid? It's like, yes, your role models are your mom and dad, not me. I play basketball for a living. I make more money than you'll ever will in your lifetime. You'll learn nothing from me. And I thought, beautiful. And so, yeah, I feel it's my role now in life, in this life, my role now is to be a father. And I never thought I would say this, but it is all that I've ever wanted, from something that I never thought I wanted. And it warms my heart and keeps me going every day. I look at them every day as they grow. They're 14, 12, and 10 now, and I'm like, how did that happen? And they're good boys, each with distinct individual personalities. And Ben, God bless him, has got my sensitivity. It's not going to fare well in high school, but he'll be okay. I keep telling him that. And Leo, my middle child, is a comedian and just an unbelievably sharp, smart, beautiful boy. And my youngest one, Sam, is a combination of those two and his own, you know, personality, and the combination of the three of them at a table is just too much. Your heart swells. It's just too much to take. So that would be the thing I could talk for hours about. That would be the thing that I would never run out of things to say, and could possibly bore people to death with. But they're my heart and soul.
I get that. And I'm going to correct you on something, Stu. So, mm-hmm. I would challenge what you said about yourself, you know, failing miserably as a parent. and I know that's you just being humble, and I know that having that attitude, you know, because if we are committed to the work and if we take pride in being a parent as our most important rewarding job and something we try to get right, and there's no script, particularly if you haven't had the right role models and the right beginning and stages in life and the examples, you know, you're really truly flying by the seat of your pants and winging it. And and that's why I really believe in the process of, you know, the common denominator. Like when you sometimes, again, it's taking the things that have been moments of darkness in our life and they become the best barometers of what to do differently, you know, just by contrast.
Right.
And, you know, so when you make the comment about failing miserably, I'm here to tell you as a woman and as a single parent myself, no, you're doing a phenomenal job, and I wish more men, and I don't mean to make this conversation gender-based, but, you know, I wish more men, particularly for how you've been brought up, I mean, we can glean a little bit from what you've said, you know, you don't have to say the whole story to get the picture here, if you're slightly intuitive, you know, but the fact that you allow yourself to be vulnerable, the fact that you allow yourself to be emotional, the fact that you allow yourself to be touched deeply to the core about things. This is what we want instilled in our children. We want our children to be feelers. We want our children to be nurturers. We want our children, you know, to drop the mask, to drop the facade, not go through 40 years of fuck it moments and going, oh my God, what have I been doing and who am I? And, you know, who is this relationship with myself that I've been trying to protect and, you know, pretend? It becomes a farce. So, you know, the fact that you walk your talk, the fact that you're very open and committed to just being who you are, which consists of being very emotional, being an empath, being a nurturer, paying it forward, being more than one dimensional. And that comes from being tapped into your own level of self-awareness and being committed to growing every day. There could not be better ingredients than that to be a wonderful parent. So good on you.
you're very kind. Thank you. I guess I say that I do every Father's Day. I kind of do my report card and I kind of think, okay, what am I? Okay, last year I think I was a C-. Now, if I can bring this thing up to like a C, I'm going to be great. And I'm hard on myself. And because I, you know, there are things that slip out of me that I just, you know, the best part is that I recognize them, you know, they're thing, and they're not bad. They're not bad, but they're just not me, you know, like, patience is patience is so important in parenting, and I have none. Like I have none. And I am so easily bored. Like, I mean, I will say this, when babies are babies, I mean, yeah, they're adorable. And I remember my wife saying as she was holding my youngest son, Ben, when he was born, I loved him. Like he was like, oh my God, I've got a child. What the hell am I going to do? But I love this baby. But this baby's boring. Like, this baby doesn't do anything. This baby eats, and this baby poops, and that's it, and sleeps. And you know, it keeps me awake and whatever. And we can't play games. Like, games aren't fun right now. They just pick up blocks and throw them around. And I remember my wife looking at me go, and I said, you know, this is great, but it's boring. And my wife looked at me in amazement and said, I am so drunk with love right now for this kid. She said, are you not? And I said, well, no, don't get me wrong. I love this baby, but there's not much to do. And that's the guy part. And it's also just I need to do something, right? This baby needs, I need to start talking to this baby. Speak now. Let's go do this. And so that combined with patience, I've never been any good at. And I get better and better every year because they get older every year, right? And they're a little, and they understand more. And they, you know, now you can, it's hard to make a young baby understand consequences and the young children understand consequences. They don't get it. They can't, because they're not developed, right? Their brain's not developed yet. They don't, they only know, like, I want this, and I don't know why I can't have it. I mean, you're taking it away from me. Why can't I play with it? Like, that sort of thing. And so that's, in the patience level, that takes me, you know, that took me a lot to learn that. And also in terms of discipline and you know, and those consequences and sticking to them and, you know, seeing in their heart, like, you know, you have to do this because this is, because punishment is necessary here. You know, you've got to go to your room, or you've got to, you're not going to play with the iPad for a week, or you're not, whatever. It's necessary. And I don't care that your face looks heartbroken right now. That's tough for me. Like, I want to say, okay, just this once. All right. Now you get this, but if you do it again, you know, sort of thing. And that's hard.
Yeah.
For me. But to, you know, overall, first of all, thank you for saying that. I just, I'm doing the best I can with an empty toolbox. And
we all are, so, Stu. Welcome to the club. Hello.
And that's, you know, you look for, so, now, what would my father, okay, I didn't have a father. Okay, what would my mother do?
Let's move on down the line.
That's right, exactly.
Well, let me ask you, who have been some of your most pivotal mentors, whether they be tangible or intangible?
First of all, my older brother, later, became, and he doesn't even know it. And if he hears this, he'll be a blubbering puddle, but he.
Don't tell him. You haven't shared.
Oh, yes. He knows. Yes, he knows.
Okay.
He sort of in his own, I doubt if he would even understand it, but he, in his own way, made me realize that I, you know, that I had a personality and that I had something to offer. And he triggered my imagination. I think he took on a fast role as being the, you know, he was the oldest and in a fatherless family. So I think he took on the fast role of being in charge, and he fought it tooth and nail. And I don't blame him. He didn't like that idea. And but he was, the times that we spent together where we had the most fun were when we were in some sort of imaginary land together. And it was always a funny land together, and it was always lots of jokes and a huge helping of sarcasm and, you know, and just lots of fun. And I think that he is one that made me sort of believe that I could, first of all, that I could do what I do now, but also that I could be me and be comfortable with it. In terms of career, I can count on one hand, you know, the people that were influential to me and helpful to me. When I went from Yorkton to Regina, my program director was a gentleman named Jeff Steele, who I believe is in Dallas right now, and I don't believe he's in radio anymore. He took me under his wing, and I do not know why, because I was god-awful. And he made me what he did, I think, was rein me in. He gathered everything that I had to offer and said, okay, look, these are all good, but you have no control. So let's work on that. And he worked with me. And I granted, much to the chagrin of the guys that I worked with, I became one of his favorites. And it really helped me, and he really helped me. And then, you know, as I go on through the years, I've worked with some smart, very smart people and very smart programmers. One that I work with right now, who's no longer a programmer, is more on a national level. I'm not even sure of his title. It's so long and I abuse him for it constantly. His name is Steve Parsons, and he is also one of those guys that recognizes what you do and will let you do what you do. will rein you in when necessary, but recognizes who you are and you know, sort of lets you breathe. And in this industry, particularly in sort of formatted commercial radio, you know, a radio station will hire you because, oh, we got to get Stu Jeffries because he's this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you get on the air, they try and stop this, 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 and this. And it never makes any sense. It's sort of like, well, you hired me to do this, but now you don't want me to do this. You want me to do something else. It's really weird. Radio has always been doing that. Lately, there's been a trend away, I think. But Steve Parsons is one of those guys that sort of leads that for me because he's going to abuse me for this so much. You have no idea. But he's one of those guys that lets you just he lets you breathe, and he recognizes what you need, will be there to help you with whatever you need, but lets you breathe. And that I really appreciate, especially as you get older and you start to realize where your real strengths are, and you to work with somebody that recognizes what those strengths are and lets you have them and lets you have a go with it. Mm-hmm. Nothing like it.
Well, what you've described about Steve is what I would define as being a true, authentic leader. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when you see talent in somebody, and it could be, you know, things need to be refined a little bit, maybe call it delivery, call it, you know, articulating your vocabulary a little bit better. But going back to what you were saying originally about, you know, I don't know why they saw that in me because I was god awful. Well, mm-hmm. No, you would know, not only as a parent yourself, but you would know for somebody who's acquired some wisdom and some life lessons along the way and experience, you know, what stands out in people? You know, it's their tenacity, it's their attitude, it's their brightness,
yeah.
It's their approach to life. You know, you can work on the other stuff and make it a better package. But if somebody doesn't bring to the table like a true spirit, where it just booms, you know, pun intended.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so
yes.
I just think, you know, and you would recognize that yourself. I mean, you would probably, as a leader within your own right, being a veteran of what you do, I mean, because you're constantly trying to hone yourself, because you're constantly challenging yourself to be better, current, mm-hmm. fresh, more improved, you would see that similar quality in somebody else who's like perhaps you're mentoring, somebody who wants to get into the industry. It doesn't even have to be related to what you do. Just when you talk to somebody who's on fire, you know, they can't maybe put it all together, and maybe it's not quite the refined package deal. But, I mean, you can't teach that.
No, you're right. And that is sort of, you know, and I think I've come across that very few times. There are people that will often contact me and say, look, I really appreciate some help, or I listen to you all the time, or I've been a fan, and it's all really great. And they say, you know, I'd love a little bit of help. Can I send you an air check, and would you give it a listen and stuff? And I'm happy to, and I love to do it. And it's the ones that do the follow-up that you know are really serious about what they want to do. You know, there are ones that every so often you just sort of meet face-to-face that have got, you don't know what it is, like, but it's something they've got. You're right, on fire is a perfect description, and that must have been me back then, where you've just, you feel you've got so much to offer, but it's raw, right? It's raw and undefined and unnurtured and, it's just there. It's an energy. And when you see that in somebody, you kind of go, wow, that's a little bit of me. And that's, you know,
yes.
that really makes you, it does. The mentor part of you really kicks in then. It's sort of like, dude or dudette, you are on the road, but you need some help. And I'm going to, you know what? I speak from experience. I can help you. I can help you with that. So, yeah.
Lovely. Well, that's just another aspect of paying it forward too, right?
For sure. And yeah, and there, I love that idea. I love that idea of giving back.
Absolutely. Because this world, as you know, needs more bright lights, right?
Amen.
And that comes from people being allowed to believe in themselves. We need to create a culture where people don't require the external permission, but people live in a climate where it's expected that you give yourself the permission to thrive, to flourish, and to just do whatever you want to do. Because, I mean, we're all going to die. I say that always.
Yep.
We're mm-hmm. going to die. We're all going to die, and we don't know when that's going to be. So knowing that we have a choice in which to live our lives, and if this is the last 24 hours, if this is the last hour that I've got, Stu, I couldn't be more grateful. Seriously. It's really important to immerse yourself in like-minded people. It's not to say that you need or want a clone of yourself. You want to be challenged constantly. But it's important to follow your tribe. Find your tribe. Seek your tribe. You know, these are the people you're going to learn from. These are the people who believe in you. But more importantly, these are the people who are going to say, don't listen to my opinion of you. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Go believe in yourself and just trail the blaze. Blaze the trail.
Exactly. 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 And that's, I guess it's the thing that my wife and I are passing on to our kids, too, is that it's one thing to say, you know, you can be anything you want. And it's true. But it's also true that, you know, there's work ahead and there's, you know, and it's a tough road to hoe. I wish it was a rainbow. I wish every day was a rainbow and you could hop on it, slide down. And at the end of the day, there's the pot of gold and look at you. Isn't that great? And it's not, but to pass along, we want them to pass along more than anything. You know what I love? It's what my wife, two things that my wife said, one, to me in general, and I had raised my voice at one of my kids, and this was a long time ago, and I forget what it was. You know, you run out of patience and up goes the voice. And she said, you know what? She said, I don't want a yelly house. And she was raised in, I think she's part of 9 kids, and in a very, very small house. And she basically said, there's always yelling. You know, and maybe not even in anger, but just a lot of noise. And she said, I don't want to live in a yelly house. And I thought, that's a mm-hmm. great thing to say. All right, cool. That's cool. I'll keep that. And I hear that all the time. And mm-hmm. the other thing that I hear or her telling our boys, she said, look it, if nothing else, she said, you've got, you know, right from wrong and all of that stuff. And that's great. But please, please be respectful. And I thought that is so good. You know, mm-hmm. respectful is so good. It's not, you know, it's not respect your elders because they're older. It's not that. It's just mm-hmm. be respectful of your fellow human being. And I'm not one for, as a matter of fact, I'm grown to despise inspirational memes that seem to show up on my Facebook page on a constant basis, because it's one thing to put these out there and it's another thing to actually live by them. And I truly believe that people put them on to see if they can hit 100 likes. And it just makes me nuts. But I will say that every so often you see something that inspires you, and be respectful are the words that I can see me putting everywhere in terms of what that means and how important that is. I just don't think that, you know, and it's such a huge umbrella, right? The respect umbrella is huge, but mm-hmm. It's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of a better world, right? And I and these kids, when they're old enough to really understand that, I'm so thankful. But I know that they have that in their heads now because they hear it all the time.
Wonderful. Well, I want to say in wrapping up here, Stu Jeffries, the hour always goes really too fast, but I want to say you inspire me. And I want to thank you. I really, truly want to thank you for the caliber and quality of your depth, your breadth, and your width. You are a really good human being. And you can't fake that stuff, you know, especially on radio, right? Because a lot of what we pick up with messages and how we compute and how we translate information, you know, a lot of it's body language, but a lot of it is the voice. You can't fake that stuff. So I just want to say for the time that you've graciously given me, particularly still being on vacation, last day no less, I want to thank you very much for the contribution of what you give back to humanity, how you use your platform for the better of the good, for the collective. And I want to thank you for the time that you've given myself and our listeners here today. It's been a true honor, and I know that we'll continue to be in touch, and I'll shortly be sending you the podcast, and I wish you and your family all my love and well wishes. To my listening audience, I want to say once again, thank you very much for your loyal listenership, for tuning into my show every Friday. This is Lisa McDonald, your host with Carpe Diem. Really looking forward to seeing you and touching base with you again next Friday. If you have any show topic ideas or you wish to appear as a prospective guest on my show, kindly reach out to me at lisamcdonaldauthor.com or alternatively, lisamcdonald13@gmail.com, and McDonald is spelled McDonald. Want to wish everyone a fantastic, safe, loving, love-filled weekend. Love and gratitude to all. Thanks to Jeffries. All my best. Take care.
Thank you, Lisa.
You've been listening to Carpe Diem with your host, Lisa McDonald. For more information, please go to Lisa's website at lisamcdonaldauthor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.